Good morning. We've heard good morning a lot this morning. That's good. It is a good morning. It's always a good morning with the Lord. As we've been going through Revelations, and as I've been meditating on the Word, I'm really capturing a vision that my vision needs to switch. In particular, in the mornings, I'm not a morning person. So I wouldn't say, oh, good morning to you if I saw you until I had my coffee. But I'm recognizing that my focus right in the morning should be the Lord. And it's radically shifting my viewpoint in my brain, which is astounding for a non-morning person. But that's a side note. Last week, Brad gave a recap of Revelation and introduced Revelation 4 and 5 to us. I love the way that God is moving among us with the revelation of his word. The Lord wants that, a revelation of his Holy Scripture to us that changes our hearts, changes our minds, changes every part of our life. And so I would encourage you with anything in the new year, if you have any resolutions or whatever. I don't usually like to make a resolution because they don't usually last past 3 months, but a resolution or something that you would stake something in the ground and say, I'm going to be in the Word this year. I'm going to be active in the Word, even if it's a little bit to start with, and meditating on it, listening to it verbally. There's great apps for that. Soak in it, read it, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, speak to your heart, speak to your mind. This is not necessarily just an emotional response to the word, but we can intellectually receive it in our mind, which begins to shift things in our life. If I would recap my week as I meditated on Revelation 4 and 5, I was just sitting there during worship, and I was like, I really didn't want to write anything down this morning. I found really hard to, as I was reading it and listening to it, just all the imagery, all the things in Revelation 4 and 5, and I was like, how do I write any of that down? Because I was just so in awe and enthralled with the word this week, utterly taken by the imagery of what it would be like to be in the throne room. I don't know if any of you have that thought of going, oh, I just want to be in the throne room. After just soaking that in, I was like, okay, nothing matters, really matters. There's a song, nothing really matters. There's a reoccurring theme. But I just wanted to be there and experience what John was experiencing because it was amazing. Amazing. It was wrecking me this week. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, this is exactly where I want you to long for to be. And I want you to long to dwell here. I'm actually calling you to dwell in the image of the throne room and live there every single day, every single minute, every single hour. I want you to be there in that moment. And it has taken my eyes off myself, my own insecurities, and it causes me to behold the Lord Almighty. Just reading that over and over, I'm just struck with saying, oh, Lord God Almighty, that's it. That's it. And his holiness and his empowering. And so all I could say this week, I said it over and over, was holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And I said it over and over. That was my thing that I did in the morning when I woke up. Throughout the day and in the evening, I've just driving in the car, you know, me and I talked about my control issues in the car, and I'd be like feeling myself getting a little anxious with the driver in front of me, and I'd be like, oh no, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who is with me right here. Totally shifted my thinking and my vision in that moment. So it's been an amazing week. And it's going to just, I just pray that it will continue. And I really sensed the Lord speak to me this week about a specific message for us this morning. I wanted to not just give a talk on Revelation 4 and 5, but I wanted it to be a message for us because we've come from the seven letters. There's messages that were given to the seven churches and to us. And he continues in Revelation. The Holy Spirit is always wanting to give us a message to move from one place to another. And as I read the word over, I sensed the Lord say that every worldly thing diminishes in the light of his glory. I feel like that is kind of like the umbrella of the message that I feel like the Lord wants to give this morning. That my human individuality diminishes in light of his glory. Your human individuality diminishes in light of his glory. Everything about our lives that seek to be a distraction, a struggle, an insecurity, a worry, a fear, every false imagination, human thought, experience, all the good, the bad, and the ugly, all diminish in the presence of the Lord. And he's called us to worship him and him only. So this morning, as we read Revelation 4 and 5, I want you to keep that in mind. I want you to keep in mind this idea that every part of you diminishes. Every good, bad, and ugly part in light of the Lord, in being in his presence. As the Holy Spirit says to us, come and behold. Come and behold. So let's read. If you got your Bibles out, it's going to be on the slide, but we're going to read 4 and 5, Revelation 4 and 5, and I'm going to stick mostly in Revelation 4 this morning, but I want us to begin hearing this over and over again. If you can read Revelation 4 and 5 and continue on, but begin meditating on these two chapters, because we're going to be here for a while. So after this, I looked, and there before me was a door, standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front, in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Revelation 5. And then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll with the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nations. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. This speaks to us. Holy Spirit, speak to us, and would you rend our hearts this morning? Change us. Change our minds, change our thinking, change our hearts and our feeling. Change our vision, Holy Spirit, as we get revelation of the Lord Almighty. And for your kingdom purposes for our lives, give us new vision and eyes to see the truth about your kingdom reality. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take what is here and use it. Take my thoughts that I've put down. Erase anything that you don't want. Add anything that you want. And move this morning, Holy Spirit. We're desperate for your empowerment in our lives. And we want to see reality in the perspective of kingdom. Amen. So this morning, I want to focus on two main points from Scripture, and I'm going to really focus on chapter 4. I want to talk about vision, and I want to talk about worship. I really feel like that is what the Lord gave me as I prepared. And so I'm going to talk about vision first, because John saw a lot. Saw a whole lot in this throne room experience. Proverbs 29:18 in the Amplified Version says, "Where there is no vision, no revelation of God and His Word, the people are unrestrained. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God." Sometimes we read that says, without vision, people perish, right? I think of even as a married couple, if Paula and I don't have vision for our life ahead or the vision of where God is calling us, it kind of like we just are kind of going through the motions in life. And God wants us to have vision. Without vision, we walk aimlessly about. Vision statements, oftentimes a ministry has a vision statement, which offer people a clear understanding of what the mission is all about. So if someone wants to know, hey, what's this ministry about? I want to read their vision statement and see what they put their eyes to and their hands to, because it's all about the vision statement. It sets them on course, gives them purpose to follow that specific vision. Our vision here really is freely receive, freely give. So we've heard that call. We receive from the Lord, and in that place we freely give. We do that in discipleship. We do that in mentorship. Every part of ministry kind of flows out of that vision. And so we put our hands to that and seek to follow it and what the Lord is calling us to do. The God, the creator of all things, the Holy of Holies. We see then another picture of that in the Old Testament, Mount Sinai, when God called Moses to consecrate the people because he was going to come on the third day to speak to them. So God says this to Moses, you know, consecrate all the people, make sure they don't touch the mountain. Like, he gave strict orders. It was amazing. Read that story. It's like, whoo. Don't touch it. If you even touch it, kill them by an arrow. Don't even touch them if they touch the mountain. Strict orders. But because God was going to come down, the Holy of Holies, the creator of all things, the one who has always been, was coming. Exodus 19:16-19. I'll just read that. On the third day, there was thunder, lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. And the Lord descended on it in fire. And the whole mountain trembled violently as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. The imagery of thunder and lightning has been used throughout Scripture to show that God is almighty, that he is holy, and that he's pure. The one who can judge all things, knows all things, and everything comes under his authority and his reign, and all sin trembles in the light of his holiness. Sometimes our vision of God is so limited. I was thinking about that. You know, sometimes we get the cushy, God is love. God is love. Lovey-dovey. He's my best friend. Paul said, like a pillow. Hug the pillow. Oh, God. We get this vision sometimes of just this soft, loving God. And he is all loving. Don't hear me. God is all love. But he's all powerful. He is almighty. Like, we can't put him in a box of just, ooh, I have warm, fuzzy feelings. He is almighty. He has always been, and he always will be. Think of that. Think of that picture of a holy, reverent God who desires for us to worship Him, for His glory to come. Because He first loved us. Because He first loved us. It should cause something in us to quake and shiver a little bit. I think for me personally, it could be, ooh, I'm a little bit selfish. I'm a little bit too human focused when I think of the Lord Almighty. He's all love. He loves me. But His holiness should make us quake a little bit. It should shake our footing a little bit. We have a sure foundation under our feet, but it should cause the humanness in us to begin to go, oh, God Almighty, holy are You. Holy are You. Holy are You. The living creatures, the elders, all fell to worship the Lord God Almighty. They all fell and worshiped Him. Here John is spiritually perceiving, experiencing, and his vision is cast on this Almighty God. And he uses three Greek words to describe the Lord God Almighty. If you go to that slide, I practiced these words, the last one. Lord Jesus, help me. Kurios is the Lord. Can you say Kurios? Kurios. Hope I'm saying that right. The Lord. This means all authority, master. Someone who is exercising absolute ownership rights. Absolute ownership rights. Kurios. Amazing. Theos. You can say Theos. That's God. John's favorite word, Greek word, to describe God. Theos. Supreme being who owns and sustains all things. That nothing can be sustained other than this God. Theos. Now the one that I hate. Pantokrator. Don't say that unless you want to. Pantokrator is the ruler of the universe. This is Almighty, the word Almighty. There is no other. If I were to say two words that would describe that Greek word is all might. Almighty or all might. Think about that. Those two, all might. John is saying, behold, I see the Lord God Almighty, the Master and the one with all authority, the one who has absolute ownership rights to everything. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord owns everything. Everything. He's got rights to every part of you. Every part of you the Lord owns and has all right to, which makes us shake a little. That includes you and me, who owns and sustains all things. The Lord Almighty sustains you, keeps you, rules over you. He rules the entire universe, and who is all might. All might. There is no other, nor has there ever been, because this is the one to whom everything has always belonged to you. You have always belonged to God because he created you and he formed you and he wants you to worship him. He's created you to worship him. This is the one who has known no beginning and he knows no end. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy are you. Here in this place of John's vision, what I was struck with is that we don't see John coming into this vision in this throne room and say, or be caught up busily saying, but God, you don't understand God. You don't actually know my struggle. You don't know the struggles and the troubles I've been. You don't know my insecurities. John's not giving excuses in this place. The elders aren't giving excuses or the reality of who they are. We don't see any part of that in this picture. No, they are in awe of the Almighty, the one who has always been in this place, and nothing seems to matter. Nothing. They're enthralled with the one sitting on the throne, and they worship him. It says in verses 9 to 11, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who lives forever and ever. He says that twice. It's kind of like he's living forever and ever. Do you get that? Who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." The living creatures who are thought to represent all parts of creation, and the 24 elders who sit on their thrones, know that here in this place, it is totally appropriate to get off their thrones. It says the elders got off their thrones. And it's appropriate to cast their crowns down, lay them down at the throne, because it is saying that all that they are and all that they have and all that they have achieved or will achieve is nothing compared to the Lord Almighty. Nothing compares. And they willingly lay it down before him who sits on the throne at the very center. We're going to lay it down. This is the Almighty who created all things, who can create all things and who is still creating all things. The Creator sitting on this throne is making all things new. Revelation 21:5, God speaks and says, "Look, I make all things new." Turn to your neighbor and say, "The Lord makes all things new." Really, do we believe that? Do we believe that at the core of our being, that God makes all things new? I can say, maybe. Or I can be caught up in a struggle or an insecurity, a thought, an experience, something that I've gone through and go, I'm stuck. I'm not able to see with my eyes a different picture of my reality. And yet God says, I make all things new. This picture of seeing him, focusing on the Lord God Almighty, who has always been and who always will be, is saying to you and I this morning, I make all things new. So think of that insecurity. Think of that struggle. Think of that thing that stops you, or when you wake up in the morning and your very first thought is this: how will I make it through the day? I'd rather stay in bed. And yet the Lord wants to shift our vision to say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Because right now it is the is. And it's going to become something because he's making something new in you. And so it's shifting our view and our eyes to see the realities of the kingdom, of what John saw, this magnificent picture of God, who is the creator of you, who is still creating in you something. So what hope for us? What a great vision to have, to solidify all our insecurities, our fears, our negative thoughts. Everything that was spoken of to the seven churches and to us. See, this vision comes after all the letters. And those letters were hard to some of the churches, hard for us. And yet this vision shifts our focus from all of that to the Almighty, the Almighty God. To give vision is to give us hope in the Lord. That as we sing, create in me a clean heart, O God, that you will restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. And nothing is too broken that cannot be restored in the presence of God and by the Lamb Jesus, who has sacrificed himself on our behalf, who always stands right there at the center of the throne. But that's for another Sunday. If we seek to dwell, abide in this place, we can allow our visual circumstances, the human reality or in our perspective, be seen in the throne room perspective, that God is there on the throne ruling and reigning with all authority, seeking to make all things new. So what is your vision like this morning? What was your vision like this morning when you got up? What was the first thought that popped into your head? Give you a moment to think. What was our vision like this morning? I see some smiles. I think mine was, whoa, I smell coffee because Mike and Sagita were at our house and someone made coffee and I woke up to the smell of the aroma and I went, whoo, who made coffee? Oh, I'm so thankful. But I sure could use a 5 more minutes of sleep. It's kind of like my first thoughts. What do you see when you wake up in the morning? What do you see when you drive to work? What do you see when you interact with coworkers or friends? Does your vision of how you see yourself or others need to shift and move as you come into the place of saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would change our vision. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would move and empower us beyond our human reality and our human understanding, our human eyes, our struggles. Lord, you care for each part of us, even the insecurities that we feel, the thoughts, every part of us you care for, and yet you want us to see rightly. You want us to lay everything down at your feet and say, you are worthy. You are worthy. Holy are you. Holy Spirit, do that in us this morning. Do that in us tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Help us not to forget, Lord, the way that you're shifting us and moving us. Breathe in us, Holy Spirit, a new vision. And the last point is worship. There's so much in here about worship. There's so much about prayer. I'm not even touching prayer. I want to touch prayer so bad, but I don't have enough time. But worship, Revelation 4 and 5, that it commands us in this place. And when we read this, it commands our attention in the whole area of worship. And what I'm astounded at is the very notion that worship is a continual thing in the reality of heaven. It's continual. As Brad talked about it last week, John here is not transported to a different time and place, but to a reality that is happening right now. It kind of shifted me. I've heard that before, but I'm reading it going, whoa, that's right. Right now, there's worship going on. And we're invited. We're invited. It's been happening for thousands of years, this worship. It's not taking a break. 24/7, 24/7, 24/7, and it's not taking a break. We like our breaks. Sometimes it's easier just to come on Sunday and worship. And sometimes we're just here and going, oh, I can't wait till lunchtime. Or this worship isn't my style. Or I want to consume something that is my style. And yet worship is worshiping us coming in and joining what's already happening. My story, I wasn't going to share it, but I feel like I want to share it. When I first came here the first time, I can't even remember why. I don't know if I spoke here. This was a smaller group, considerably smaller. And we're singing along the worship, and I was used to consumer worship. Feed me. I want to feel this, I want to experience this and that. You know, it's good to experience worship and feel something, but I was consumer. I wanted it my style, and I come and it wasn't quite my style. But what I heard blew my mind, because I heard a multitude of people singing. I'm still in awe of that. This morning as we were worshiping, I went, Oh, let me hear the angels sing. Because what I heard that first time, I just liken it to that there was angels singing alongside of us, and I heard it. Because there was way more worship than bodies in this building. And it was totally, utterly wrecked in that place. That's what we've entered into. There's millions of angels worshiping right now. Encircle the throne. And we mere mortals, that he be so mindful of us, can enter that part of worship. And so even as we were worshiping this morning, I began shifting because, you know, I'd sometimes begin feeling like, oh, I want to feel something. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, there's something greater than me. And Lord, I want to experience that. I come into that place of corporate worship in the heavenly realms. And my focus needs to shift in that place. It needs to shift in that place. Whew, don't get me started on that. This is every single day, every single second, minute, hour. This should blow our mind, this worship service going on right now. This set is continual. It should blow us. It should cause our brains to go, what is going on right now? In the heavens, our minds should just be, I don't know, it makes my mind go all crazy thinking of what's going on right now. And it should cause us to stir and stretch us and move us past what we're experiencing right now and get our eyes off ourselves. And holy, holy, holy are you, Lord, God Almighty. So we're invited in all reality to enter 24/7 worship. Woo-hoo. That is so exciting. 24/7 worship, we're invited. Come partake of what's going on right now in the heavenly realms. We can come. Daryl Johnson in his book, Discipleship on the Edge, says, and I quote, "When we go to worship, we are entering a service already in progress. Worship doesn't begin with us, nor does it end with us. When we gather to worship, we step into a worship service that has been going on for all time." Hallelujah. All time. And the thing is, worship corrects our vision. Worship corrects our vision. It brings the Almighty God back into focus. It sets things straight. Sets things straight. When our vision is off, we can't see things correctly. If I'm consumed with a problem and I focus on it and it alone, rather than choosing to worship the Lord, everything is skewed. Everything's off kilter. So if I'm consumed with, oh man, I'm not a good enough husband. If I could just get things right. If I wasn't so impatient or a control freak, things would go so well. And I begin, my focus shifts entirely to that. Entirely to that. Everything begins to go off blurry. Because I can't see straight. I can't see rightly. And in that place I can go, wait a minute, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Set my vision right. Empower me to be the person I'm called to be in that place. And I worship you, Lord. You alone. You alone. So even though we may face persecution, because we will, even though we may face trials of every kind, struggles, sin issues. Our own independence. We are invited to once again come and behold and worship the one true God. So what does this vision of the Lord God Almighty sitting on the throne and the living creatures and elders worshiping him say to the seven churches and to us? It says that no matter what we face or go through, we might find this vision of John's reassuring. To know that God reigns, and he will continue to reign through everything that we go through. He won't stop reigning. He will reign over all chaos, corruption, and all power rests on God. Everything. Everything is about God. That when we compromise our convictions to adopt pagan beliefs, or for the sake of social and economic ease, this vision of the Holy One should cause us to tremble and stir in light of his holiness. And this vision is to draw all of us, this vision of John's, draw all of us into a greater desire and longing to join together with all heavenly saints, the angels, the elders, singing praise to God and the Lamb. And this is what really, really matters. This is what really matters. Can we stand up together? This really matters. And I want you to hear that this matters with the Lord. And we can quake and tremble with the things that, you know, I don't know about you, but I can go, I just haven't got it right, haven't done it right, or haven't got it right. So I can go into that mode of, oh, woe is me, the worst Christian around, and flogging myself. No, hear the Lord a new thing for you. I feel like the Lord is saying, rise up beyond that. That doesn't matter. It don't matter. I am doing something new, and I'm going to create something new beyond that. So lay that out at the throne. Lay that down and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that today you empower me to see rightly the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, and that he is with you. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Would you come and worship me and behold the one sitting on the throne? Oh, I feel such joy in that place. I kind of go, whew, who cares? Who cares all the things that I can't get right? Holy are you, Lord. Because he's going to set my vision. And when he sets my vision, I'm going to put my hands to task. And it's good. It's going to be on the things that he wants me to do. The good deeds that he's already planned ahead of me to do. That's what he's called you to do. After the service, we want to pray for the sick. So if you're sick this morning and you want healing, we want to stand in the power of Jesus Christ and pray for the sick and anoint you. That's one of the areas that we want to stand in and say, this is part of our inheritance and the inheritance of the Lord through us, is that he wants healing. So we want to stake that in the ground. Lord, we're going to petition for healing, and we're going to go there in prayer and fasting. We're going to do it because this is on the Lord's heart. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, I thank you for each person here. Each person that you drew here this morning, that you have a plan and a purpose, and that you're creating all things new. All things. I thank you that you formed each person here on purpose. And you formed us to worship you, the Almighty, the one that had no beginning and the one that has no end, God Almighty. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're right there, that you're the Lamb slain for us. Who's taken away all condemnation, everything that we tremble about, you've taken all of that away. And we can stand and say, holy are you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fall afresh on us and give us new vision. That you would empower us. That we would be a mighty people who would depend solely on you. That our vision would be so big that there's no way that we could see it but by you. And we want that, Lord. So move, Jesus, move among us. Yeah, capture our hearts once again, Lord. Capture our hearts. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.